from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the Better Lawns and Gardens, the second hour. We're looking forward to talking to you and your about your gardening questions and learning about your gardening over the next year. So we're really grateful that you're here. And as we always start off the second hour, here comes John Denver. And the dirty word of the day is ornamental plant. What is an ornamental plant? Well, they are cultivated primarily for their aesthetic appeal. The plants have diverse traits such as color, shape, and fragrance. And while their primary purpose is ornamental, these plants can serve other roles in landscaping, including providing privacy, enhancing the spatial structure, and contributing to environmental quality. The variety within ornamental plants is extensive, as they span a wide range of categories, including trees, shrubs, climbing plants, grasses, succulents, and aquatic species, herbaceous perennials, and annuals. The breeding of ornamental plants often focuses on enhancing specific traits, resulting in cultivars that surpass their wild relatives in beauty and utility. For instance, many flowering plants have been selectively bred to improve characteristics such as bloom duration, color vibrancy, and fragrance. Consequently, these cultivated varieties tend to exhibit more vivid colors, unique forms, and prolonged blooming periods compared to their native counterparts. Therefore, they play a vital role in creating visually appealing gardens and landscapes. So this historically goes back to the 2000 BC, when we saw evidence of ornamental horticulture found in Egyptian tomb paintings. They showed how beautiful the plants could be. This is different from agricultural and farming plants. So we do love our ornamental plants, and this is a dirty word of the day. So thank you very much for that. I do appreciate the resources that I used. It was an agricultural botanical dictionary. So ornamental plants, use the word this week, and you can use it in your goals for the new year. I'm going to plant more ornamental plants, and ornamental plants can be native too as well. So you want to give us a call? This hour is all about you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680. And Rona texted, and yes, I've got time. She said, should I worry about my three mango trees? They have blossoms already, and the cold weather is coming. What should I do? Well, Rona, the cold weather is going to damage those flowers, possibly. I don't know where you are in Florida. I didn't get a city. But the flowers are going to drop, but that's okay. There's plenty of time before spring for more flowers to be produced. So don't worry about it. Now, if your tree is small, and by that I mean under 6 foot tall, you can cover it with frost blanket to help it have less damage. But the flowers pretty much will fall off. Not all of them, but the majority of them if you get cold enough. And that's temperatures below 40 degrees for mango trees. Okay, but don't worry about it. They'll be just fine. And so if you have a question or call, you can give it to us, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. You can check out our newsletter, In Your Backyard, which you can sign up for free. No spam. I don't sell it. It's very private. And you can go to my website, she-consulting.com, and sign up for it there. It's going to go out this weekend, and it gives you information about how to care for your plants during your freezes. My Art and Bloom Garden Tours, I'd love for you to join us. We have many of the tours coming up this year. And then also landscape malpractice and what to do in your landscape. So we're going to, do I have time to take Pinky's question?
No, but Pinky, she said that she's willing to hold on through the break, which is stupendous. We definitely appreciate that. So we'll go ahead and go to break now, and then that way we'll get back to you, Pinky.
There you go.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, you can give us a call. 1-888-455-2967. Lizzie will take your call and put you on the board. And you can also text us 23680. Let's hear from you. We would love to do that. Let's go to Pinky in Port Orange. Good morning, Pinky. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you both, too. It's two questions and one short. Can I start my tomato seedlings in peat moss and perlite just for the starters?
Okay, so you want to have some organic material in there, too. So you want to start it in, if you want to make your own seed starting soil, then it would be equal parts of vermiculite and some organic compost and perlite and sphagnum peat moss. And you can do two times the amount of sphagnum peat moss, too, as well.
And where would you, which organic matter would you recommend me to buy?
Just compost is fine. You can buy bags of compost at the nurseries and the stores.
Okay. Like Black Cow?
Black Cow is manure. And So I would just say equal parts of compost, perlite, vermiculite, and then two times the amount of sphagnum peat moss. You want it to be really good draining, well draining.
Okay. My big problem this summer, it'll be 3 years, I have put in 7 raised beds.
Okay.
I made a huge mistake. I got chip drop, and the majority of my bed, it's the lasagna muffin. It has so many chips in it, it's crazy. And my plants never did well, my veggies. And I've been researching, and I've learned it's robbing all the nitrogen out of my beds.
Yes.
How do I correct that? Because I can't remove the chips. How should I correct that? Should I just put in slow?
Do you have a compost area?
I do.
Okay. I would take out half of your chips and put them back in the compost, and then put regular potting soil mix or a good draining organic mixture into your raised beds.
Okay, and then let those chips compost down.
Yes, compost down even more. Yes. Okay. The lasagna method isn't really recommended. That's kind of it's not a really good horticultural practice.
Oh, I have found that out the hard way. And I did all 7 beds by myself.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, you're starting off the new year right.
Okay. Thank you so much, ladies. And you're a ball to listen to. I laugh sometimes so hard. I think people would think I'm crazy if they saw me.
You're so funny, Pinky. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. And we're going to go to Diane in Tallahassee. Good morning, Diane. Happy New Year.
Yes, good morning. I have a question. I've had avocados, too, actually, trees in my garden that have been growing for years and years. And 2 years ago, of course, with that hard freeze, they froze to the ground.
Yes.
But they have resprouted. Now, the question is, do I cut off all the sprouts except one? And the other question is, do those sprouts know how old the tree is so that I can one day actually get fruit?
Okay. So the first question is, yes, you can cut those sprouts off. We recommend that. Save the tallest, the straightest, the nicest, healthiest sprout to keep on going. And two, I just need to know, is this an avocado tree that you've grown from seed, or is it a grafted?
No, it's one I grew from seed. Everything comes up in my garden, and those I've kind of nourished.
Okay, and did you ever get fruit from them?
Not yet.
Okay, so how long have you been growing this avocado tree?
Oh, I'm sure they're 7 or 8 years old. I don't know. They've been there many, many years, and I've protected them from freezes, and
Okay, well, you're going to have to do that this year. So growing avocados from the seed, it generally takes 7 to 10 years to get fruit from them. So I would say you're not going to get fruit next year, but keep on trying. And just so you don't get disheartened, buy a grafted avocado tree. And so you can get avocados next year. But it just takes a long time for the tree from seed to produce fruit.
Right, right. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let us know how you do, Diane. Thank you so much.
All right.
Much.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's fine. So, yeah, you know, it's a good project for kids to get them interested in growing trees and gardening and watching the roots develop. It's very educational. But if you really want fruit, I mean, I am just not a patient person to wait 10 years to get an avocado. Guacamole is too important in my life to go 7 to 10 years without it. And so a grafted tree will produce the very first year to the second year, okay? So it just depends on how old it is when you buy it. But you should get fruit within 2 years, and that's a good time to wait, okay? Life is too short to wait for avocado seeds to grow. And so that's just my purpose. Now, what should you be doing this time of the year? It's a good time if you have been overwatering your yard, and I mean by watering 2, 3 times, 4 times a week all year round, stop it. There's no reason to do that, okay? And you're hurting your turf, probably causing you some weed issues and some insect issues and disease issues, okay? Because those make, when you overwater, you make it sustainable or susceptible to pest problems, all right? This, when the cold temperatures are happening now, is a great time to wean your turf off of irrigation. Don't water except once a week. If you don't get rain, if you don't get that 1 inch of water a week, then you need to put down some supplemental water before freeze and after freeze. But if you're getting that rainfall, and everybody should get a rain gauge for Christmas or their birthday so you know exactly how much rain you're getting. And if you get 1 inch of water a week, that's plenty. You do not need to be adding more. Let's see. Let's go to Jim in Ocoee. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I have a question about growing the collard greens.
Uh-huh.
Should I be growing them from seeds, or is there somewhere now that I can find the baby plants?
Well, in the nurseries and the box stores, you can look for collard greens, okay, as transplants, and you may be able to find some. But if you can't, then your only other option is to go to seed.
And right now, you can still do seeds?
Yeah, you can do seeds for collard greens right now, yes.
Okay, and my plumera, I've had, again, with the cold coming, I've had such great success putting the pipe insulation on my plumera. It just works so good. I just throw them in the bag in the spring. I leave them on all winter. Maybe you shouldn't, but I do. But they've done so well. I have a lot of seed pods. Should I just be cutting them off now and putting them in plastic bags and wait till the spring, or should I just leave them on? But I have several different plants with big seed pods on them.
Okay, so you can go ahead and save your seeds if you want to grow a plantation of plumeria. They germinate very, very nicely. Uh-huh. So, but I would not put them in a plastic bag. I would put them in an envelope, a folder, a type of envelope, you know, the large 8x11 envelopes. Uh-huh. You can put them in those, and so that they stay dry. In the plastic, they might rot if there's any moisture in the pot. Okay?
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jim. Happy New Year. Thank you for calling. And great call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. You can go to my website, she-consulting.com, to get the newsletter. The January newsletter will be out this weekend. It tells you what to do and what not to do. Let's go to Bill in Georgetown. Good morning, Bill. Happy New Year.
Yeah, happy New Year to you. Thank you. Yeah, we talked, I don't know, about 6 months ago or whatever, about this Homestead 24 tomato plant.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to get some seeds to come up in the fall, which is hard to do. I've always been looking for a winter tomato. They're not very big, but I've got tomatoes in December now, and they are delicious. And they're not very big. They're full of seeds, but they do have good flavor, and I'm very happy with it, and I highly recommend that for someone who wants a winter tomato.
Congratulations, that's wonderful.
I will be planting my Cherokee Purple seeds here pretty soon, but You know, when you want a tomato that's got flavor, I'm still hunting for the perfect one.
Well, yeah, you do, but the Cherokee purple is delicious, and
it is.
The heirloom ones you're growing are good too as well. So I'm pleased to hear that.
I can never get them to grow in the fall up through. They don't like the hot weather in the fall growing.
Right, they do not.
I can never get mature plants by the winter.
Yeah, no. But you know, if you start them in October, November, then you kind of, you know, you'll have the winter tomatoes.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I also have a persimmon tree that was wild. It was dug up in the woods and brought over here, and I even ate a couple of wild persimmons. They were very small, and it's morphed into, I don't understand how, but it's morphed into a delicious persimmon now, and they're bigger than the size of eggs. And what's even more weird is I thought a wild or any kind of a wild tree, if it sent out a root and the root comes up and then a year later it has fruit on it, that should be a wild fruit. And these persimmons are delicious too, and I don't understand how that happens.
Because persimmons are good, and it is a delicious fruit. It's a great native tree, and I'm glad you're enjoying them. Good for you. It's probably just because of the age it's growing. I mean, as you've been taking care of it a little bit more than it would be getting if it was in the wild. So you're probably fertilizing it and watering it. Am I correct?
Not in the least.
No? It's just growing on its own? Well, good for you.
I totally ignore this thing. I mean, I'll water it if I see it stressed with drought.
Uh-huh.
But I'm telling you, the wild ones were about the size of a ping pong ball, and these are bigger than an egg. And I just thought a tree had to be grafted in order to have good fruit.
No, it does not.
Okay.
Okay, now, so tell me, is where it was growing, was it in a thicket? Was it in a forest area? Did it have full sun? And where did you move it to? What are the conditions?
Well, actually, it was the homeowner before me, a friend of mine, who dug it. His friend dug it alongside the road in the woods.
Uh-huh.
And they transplanted it over here, and it's in full sun.
Yeah.
And then the top of it died out,
uh-huh,
which made me think it was a grafted tree. It died out, and then the side branch came out, and I've been nursing that on, and that's the side branch, which is putting out the good fruit now.
Interesting. Can you see anywhere down below where it's grafted?
No, I can't.
Yeah.
No, I can't. I've never seen a graft mark on it.
Huh. Well, persimmons are native to Florida, and I'm just thinking that where it was located, especially if it was next to a road, the soil wasn't as good as further back into a property area. So they probably stimulated it, one, from transplanting, and it kind of put in a little shock and, you know, started to grow real well, whereas it didn't have that shock, you know, when it was next to the highway. So I'm just hypothesizing here.
Sure.
But I think
Well, then the other thing would be is, okay, it sends out a root, and the root sends up a sucker about 3 feet away from it, and within a year, it's got fruit on it, and then the root continues on out.
You're a great gardener, Bill. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. We're going to be back with more Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. Lizzie will take your call and put you on the board. And you can also text us 23680. Let's hear from you. We would love to do that. Let's go to Pinky in Port Orange. Good morning, Pinky. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you both, too. It's two questions and one short. Can I start my tomato seedlings in peat moss and perlite, just for the starters?
Okay, so you want to have some organic material in there too. So you want to start it in, if you want to make your own seed starting soil, then it would be equal parts of vermiculite and some organic compost and perlite and sphagnum peat moss. And you can do two times the amount of sphagnum peat moss too as well.
And where would you which organic matter would you recommend me to buy?
Just compost is fine. You can buy bags of compost at the nurseries and the stores.
Okay.
Okay.
Black cow
is manure, and okay. So I would just say equal parts of compost, perlite, vermiculite, and then two times the amount of sphagnum peat moss. You want it to be really good draining, well draining.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. My big problem this summer, it'll be 3 years, I have put in 7 raised beds.
Okay.
I made a huge mistake. I got chip drop, and the majority of my bed, it's the lasagna muffin. It has so many chips in it, it's crazy. And my plants never did well, my veggies. And I've been researching, and I've learned it's robbing all the nitrogen out of my beds.
Yes.
How do I correct that? Because I can't remove the chips. How should I correct that? Should I just
Do you have a compost area?
I do.
Okay. I would take out half of your chips and put them back in the compost, and then put regular potting soil mix or a good draining organic mixture into your raised beds.
Okay, and then let those chips compost down.
Yes, compost down even more, yes. Okay, the lasagna method isn't really recommended. That's kind of it's not a really good horticultural practice.
Oh, I have found that out the hard way, and I did all 7 beds by myself.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, you're starting off the new year right.
Okay, thank you so much, ladies, and you're a ball to listen to. I laugh sometimes so hard. I think people would think I'm crazy if they saw me.
You're so funny, Becky. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. And we're going to go to Diane in Tallahassee. Good morning, Diane. Happy New Year.
Yes, good morning. I have a question. I've had avocados, too, actually, trees in my garden that have been growing for years and years. And 2 years ago, of course, with that hard freeze, they froze to the ground.
Yes.
But they have resprouted. Now, the question is, do I cut off all the sprouts except one? And the other question is, do those sprouts know how old the tree is so that I can one day actually get fruit?
Okay. So the first question is, yes, you can cut those sprouts off. We recommend that and save the tallest, the straightest, the nicest, healthiest sprout to keep on going. And two, I just need to know, is this an avocado tree that you've grown from seed, or is it a grafted?
No, it's one I grew from seed. Everything comes up in my garden, and those I've kind of nourished.
Okay, and did you ever get fruit from them?
Not yet.
Okay, so how long have you been growing this avocado tree?
Oh, I'm sure they're 7 or 8 years old. I don't know. They've been there many, many years, and I've protected them from freezes, and
Okay, well, you're going to have to do that this year. So growing avocados from the seed, it generally takes 7 to 10 years to get fruit from them. So I would say you're not going to get fruit next year, but keep on trying. And just so you don't get disheartened, buy a grafted avocado tree. And so you can get avocados next year. But it just takes a long time for the tree from seed to produce fruit.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let us know how you do, Diane. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's fine. So, you know, it's a good project for kids to get them interested in growing trees and gardening and watching the roots develop. It's very educational. But if you really want fruit, I mean, I am just not a patient person to wait 10 years to get an avocado. Guacamole is too important in my life to go 7 to 10 years without it. And so a grafted tree will produce the very first year to the second year. Okay. So it just depends on how old it is when you buy it. But you should get fruit within 2 years. And that's a good time to wait. Okay. Life is too short to wait for avocado seeds to grow. And so that's just my purpose. Now, what should you be doing this time of the year? It's a good time if you have been overwatering your yard. And I mean by watering 2, 3 times, 4 times a week all year round, stop it. There's no reason to do that, okay? And you're hurting your turf. probably causing you some weed issues and some insect issues and disease issues, okay? Because those make, when you overwater, you make it sustainable or susceptible to pest problems, all right? This, when the cold temperatures are happening now, is a great time to wean your turf off of irrigation. Don't water except once a week. If you don't get rain, if you don't get that 1 inch of water a week, then you need to put down some supplemental water before freeze and after freeze. But if you're getting that rainfall, and everybody should get a rain gauge for Christmas or their birthday so you know exactly how much rain you're getting. And if you get 1 inch of water a week, that's plenty. You do not need to be adding more. Let's see. Let's go to Jim in Ocoee. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I have a question about growing the collard greens.
Uh-huh.
Should I be growing them from seeds, or is there somewhere now that I can find the baby plants?
Well, in the nurseries and the box stores, you can look for collard greens, okay, as transplants, and you may be able to find some. But if you can't, then your only other option is to go to seed.
And right now, you can still do seeds?
Yeah, you can do seeds for collard greens right now, yes.
Okay, and my plumera, I've had, again, with the cold coming, I've had such great success putting the pipe insulation on my plumera.
Uh-huh.
It just works so good. I just throw them in the bag in the spring. I leave them on all winter. Maybe you shouldn't. But I do. But they've done so well, I have a lot of seed pods. Should I just be cutting them off now and putting them in plastic bags and wait till the spring, or should I just leave them on? But I have several different plants with big seed pods on them.
Okay, so you can go ahead and save your seeds if you want to grow a plantation of plumeria. They germinate very, very nicely. So, but I would not put them in a plastic bag. I would put them in an envelope, a folder, a type of envelope, you know, the large 8x11 envelopes. Oh. You can put them in those, and so that they stay dry. In the plastic, they might rot if there's any moisture in the pot. Okay?
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jim. Happy New Year. Thank you for calling. And great call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. You can go to my website, she-consulting.com, to get the newsletter. The January newsletter will be out this weekend. Tells you what to do and what not to do. Let's go to Bill in Georgetown. Good morning, Bill. Happy New Year.
Yeah, happy New Year to you. Thank you. We talked, about 6 months ago or whatever, about this Homestead 24 tomato plant.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to get some seeds to come up in the fall, which is hard to do. I've always been looking for a winter tomato. They're not very big, but I've got tomatoes in December now, and they are delicious. And they're not very big. They're full of seeds, but they do have good flavor, and I'm very happy with it. And I highly recommend that for someone who wants a winter tomato.
Congratulations. Now, that's wonderful.
I will be planting my Cherokee Purple seeds here pretty soon, mm-hmm. but... you know, when you want a tomato that's got flavor, I'm still hunting for the perfect one.
Well, you do, but the Cherokee Purple is delicious, and
it is.
The heirloom ones you're growing are good too as well. So I'm pleased to hear that.
I can never get them to grow in the fall up through. They don't like the hot weather in the fall growing.
Right,
so they
do not
get mature plants by the winter.
Yeah, no. But you know, if you start them in October, November, then you kind of, you know, you'll have the winter tomatoes.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I also have a persimmon tree that was wild. It was dug up in the woods and brought over here, and I even ate a couple of wild persimmons. They were very small. And it's morphed into, I don't understand how, but it's morphed into a delicious persimmon now, and they're bigger than the size of eggs. And what's even more weird is I thought a wild or any kind of a wild tree, if it sent out a root and the root comes up and then a year later it has fruit on it, that should be a wild fruit. And these persimmons are delicious too, and I don't understand how that happens.
Because persimmons are good, and it is a delicious fruit. It's a great native tree, and I'm glad you're enjoying them. Good for you. It's probably just because of the age it's growing. I mean, as you've been taking care of it a little bit more than it would be getting if it was in the wild. So you're probably fertilizing it and watering it. Am I correct?
Not in the least.
No? It's just growing on its own? Well, good for you.
No, I totally ignore this thing. I mean, I'll water it if I see it stressed with drought.
Uh-huh.
But I'm telling you, the wild ones were about the size of a ping pong ball, and these are bigger than an egg. And I just thought a tree had to be grafted in order to have good fruit.
No, it does not.
Okay.
Okay, now, so tell me, is where it was growing, was it in a thicket? Was it in a forest area? Did it have full sun? And where did you move it to? What are the conditions?
Well, actually, it was the homeowner before me, a friend of mine, who dug it. His friend dug it alongside the road in the woods.
Uh-huh.
And they transplanted it over here, and it's in full sun.
Yeah.
And then the top of it died out,
uh-huh,
which made me think it was a grafted tree. It died out, and then the side branch came out, and I've been nursing that on, and that's the side branch, which is putting out the good fruit now.
Interesting. Can you see anywhere down below where it's grafted?
No, I can't.
Yeah.
No, I can't. I've never seen a graft mark on it.
Huh. Well, persimmons are native to Florida, and I'm just thinking that where it was located, especially if it was next to a road, the soil wasn't as good as further back into a property area. So they probably stimulated it, one, from transplanting, and it kind of put in a little shock and, you know, started to grow real well, whereas it didn't have that shock, you know, when it was next to the highway. So I'm just hypothesizing here.
Sure.
But you're a great gardener, Bill. Thank you so much. Happy New Year. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear it on betterlawns.com and on iHeartRadio. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find betterlawns.com. We will be posting it to our Facebook page. Please go on our Facebook page and give us 5 stars and like us. We would love that and appreciate it so much. You are such great listeners. We always appreciate you listening to the show. Welcome to all of our new listeners, too, as well. In Singapore and Australia, and in India too as well.
We love this. We appreciate it. And you know, you guys can always I don't know if you could call in because you have international calling fees, but maybe internet texting.
They could text. Sure.
There you go.
Yeah. And a big hi out there to Howdy out to Texas. Mm-hmm. We have callers everywhere.
That's good.
And
stuff.
Listeners everywhere. So I do appreciate that. Let's go to Bob in Melbourne. Good morning, Bob. How can I help you?
Good morning. Y'all just can't stop, won't stop, huh?
No,
we just talk.
I know. Thank you, Bob, for sitting on hold for like 7 minutes. Appreciate you.
I got my tea. I'm good.
There you go. Amen. Amen. I got tea.
Yeah. So I just wanted to call and remind everybody, you know, go do these things. Go do... I went this weekend, or not this weekend, it feels like a weekend, the other night to the... McKee Gardens in Vero does their light show, and it was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And it is good for all ages.
That's
wonderful.
There
was little kids running around in parts of it. There was elderly people enjoying. There was some kind of hippie people wandering in the woods. It was good. Don't be afraid to hit these little things.
No.
You know?
No, and gardening.
And find out if
yeah.
you can bring your dog. I didn't know you could bring dogs to the Vero one.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's always, pretty cool.
Yeah, always double check because there are some events that allow animals and the others that, you know, and if you know your dog is going to just bite even the air, then yeah, take precautions and maybe
yeah, leave them at home. Yeah.
But yes, and gardening events, community gardening events they have going on too.
Oh, cool.
It is such a benefit to the community, and getting out there in the garden does enhance your health and well-being. It enhances your mental, emotional state, and it's good for people to get out there in the gardens.
Oh, yeah. And where else can you go and have Christmas lights and palm trees and orchids?
I know. McKee Botanical Gardens is gorgeous.
And still wear a jacket.
Yes. Yes. And be cold. It hasn't gotten there yet. I'd like to see what, we're kind of on nervous edge right here, waiting to see how cold it's going to get. Hope not too cold. But,
the other one thing is, I was thinking on my extended break, I prepare for the cold by giving my more sensitive plants or potted plants the liquid seaweed 3 days before. Gives them a little boost of like strength.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily do that,
no?
but if you do it and it's working for you, more power to you. I don't
it's
necessarily
been working
would.
For years.
Yeah, but you're in Melbourne.
Yes.
And so it's still kind of warm. It doesn't get cold there. So I would not see. So when you're putting in the liquid fertilizer, which is what you're doing with the seaweed. Okay, seaweed is liquid fertilizer, but it's very high in nitrogen. And it's going to produce leaves and it's going to stimulate growth. And in the middle of wintertime, I won't necessarily do it. Now, it just depends on what you're putting it on and what you're planting. But it works very quickly and it's gone very quickly. So, if it's working, go for it, not a problem. But I just wouldn't necessarily do it in other parts of the state. They get colder.
It'd be riskier in inland and north
because
it's going to stay colder.
Right, yes. And it's nitrogen. So you're putting on, it's organic nitrogen, and it's going to do some damage if you give it too much.
Mm.
Okay? So you must be doing everything right. So good on you.
Right enough.
There you go. I enjoy that. So if you know of an event coming up, Bob, in the future, let me know and I'll announce it on the air.
Will do.
All right. Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year.
There you go. I love going, here in Orlando, Lou Gardens and Mead Gardens and the foliage festivals that which are coming up, are always great events to go to. It's a good opportunity to get plants. Usually there are plant sales going on at these events. But it's a good time to get out and support the community and take advantage of the well-being and being out in the garden.
Yeah, and I also like to kind of hear more from our teachers that are doing the gardening. Because we've got a few teachers who listen who do the gardening with their classes. So
and they do out in Claremont, yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of like to hear a little more from you all. So you guys can text throughout the week. I'm here basically almost 7 days a week. And I check our text line all the time. And I do send them to Teresa. So you can text us at 23680. Or you can email Teresa at teresa.watkins@live.com, and there's no H
there's
in the
no
Teresa,
H in the
so.
Teresa. There you go.
Yep.
And or you can just Google me and go to my website. You can send an email through betterlawns.com. You can send an email through my website and just let me know. And you can send me your garden questions if you're in the middle of doing something and it's not Saturday. They can send me the garden questions and I will do my best to respond right away.
Yeah, and your website is
www.she-consulting.com. So let me give you a couple more things. This is a time for crepe myrtle grooming, okay? And by grooming, I mean you don't hack it back straight across the branches, okay, or the trunks of the tree. Do not hack it back. That's not going to produce a good-looking tree. But what you can do is you can remove the seed heads, the seed pods that are already dead. You can remove those. You can remove any twigs smaller than your pinky, all right, and any crossing branches. You don't want the branches to grow together. So keep the crepe myrtle. If you want it to be a standard and have a single trunk, then cut the suckers off at the bottom, okay? And usually before the suckers and the twigs get too hard, you can rub them off with your hand. But if you are hacking it back, you're going to get more suckering at the bottom and you're going to have an uglier tree. Okay, so let's not do that this year. Make sure there's plenty of good air circulation for the branches to grow without touching other branches. So if one is going, diagonally and it's crossing another branch, go ahead and cut the other one off. You can keep the trunk to 3 to 5 different trunks, and you can remove anything that's dead on it, and you can give it, you can trim the top of it, of course, but it's not necessary to do that. Orlando at the Advent Health on the lake right there, they have beautiful crepe myrtles that are 40 feet tall. And they're gorgeous. Yes, they're gorgeous. And, you know, we don't do this to elm trees. We don't do this to sycamore trees. Well, utility companies do, but we don't like that. You know, you don't need to cut a tree that loses its leaves just to get it to bloom. It's going to bloom on its own. And I will tell you, if you hack it back, you're going to have bigger blooms. It's going to shock it into producing huge blooms that are so heavy, they're going to bend over and try and touch the ground. But if you don't hack it back and let it flower naturally, you'll have smaller blooms, but you'll have more blooms. The whole tree will produce. Okay, so it's not necessary to do that. Also, too, if you walk your yard, see what needs winter protection. It's going to be coming after Tuesday. We're going to see temperatures in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s all the way down to South Florida. So you want to be prepared for that. Make sure that anything that you have that is sheets or boxes is not touching the foliage. You want to keep a good warm air around your shrub or tree. You want the covering to go down to the ground. You want to keep bricks and blocks or rocks on it so it keeps that warm air in. Put sticks underneath it to keep the blanket from touching the leaves. Do not use plastic, and it's better to use frost cloth, and the stores will be out of it if you haven't noticed already that they're probably all getting sold out. So see if you can get some frost blankets. You can order it from Amazon, and hopefully it'll come before if you do Prime. So thank you to all our callers. Lizzie, we're starting off the year with a great show.
Our listeners have been stupendous, as they all have been for years now. So thank you for the calls and the text, and I hope everybody has a great 2025.
Yeah, we want to thank our sponsors. So Summit Responsible Solutions, Mosquito Bits and Dunks. If you do not want mosquitoes in your yard, use that. And they have the Green Armor Shield repellent there, the liquid that you can use in your landscape. So go to summitchemicals.com and check out their products. They have great products that are safe for the environment, and you can use them in your yard. They're not good for, but they do not hurt. They do not damage anything. No children, no plants, no pets, and birds. You can put it in your bird bath. You can put it in your staghorn fern. We also want to thank Quality Green Specialist and Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland. Thank you so much. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Be sure to go to our website, betterlawns.com, and you can catch all the podcasts that you missed or any part of the shows that you missed there. That's betterlawns.com.